You know, it just wouldn't be, it wouldn't feel right to let this monumental occasion go by without spending some time mocking our enemy, Stephen Colbert, who spent the last several years trying and failing to propagandize the normies of America. I would have liked to see him stay on, because I think when you really get a view of who these people are, you don't like them. And we shouldn't like them, and we need to know who they really are. So I would have liked to see him on the air. I am, by the way, opening my ultimate methyl drive to activate my cellular energy. All these products available at thealexjonesstore.com. Opening it up with the surprisingly sharp battle knife, $17.76 on one side, Alex Jones on the other, $20 off right now. This certified five-star product, the Alex Jones signature battle dagger, available now at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm going to take some of these methyl drive. I really am feeling the, this power drive is something else, man. I took this like an hour ago when we started the show. I'm feeling it. I'm telling you. That's crazy. Y'all should try this. Advanced Adaptogen Complex Power Plant, designed for real performance. Adaptogens are what you use to deal with stress, but I'm feeling the energy right now. I'm going to take this methyl drive, see if I can't kick it into high gear, but we're going to go back to this video. I want to show the rest of CNN just arguing with reality about Stephen Colbert's firing and comparing it to Greg Gutfeld as if a, you know, explicitly political show on a political news channel is comparable to a late night show on CBS main network news. If Colbert wanted to do a CNN late night show, I'm sure his ratings would have been good. The point is that he was hijacking what should be a non-political or apolitical show for all Americans and turned it into a progressive socialist sneering fest. And that's not a recipe for success when half your country or more despises your viewpoint. So let's watch CNN again. Just deny reality and try to demand that, I don't know, people like things that they just don't like. Let's watch.
Listen, here's the corollary to what you're saying. Like, the other side of it is that, you know, there are shows that I will not name that spend half their time attacking liberals or attacking liberals.
That's one thing.
All their time attacking liberals. And it doesn't have any impact on their ratings whatsoever. So to Ture's point, I don't necessarily think that's really on the ratings front. I don't really think that's really what matters.
Are his ratings good? They're dismal.
The real problem is more like Netflix and the reasons why the democratization of the entire television landscape. There are so many more options for people to watch. That's going to cut into
that can be part of it. But let's go back to, you have a guy that does a show that's funnier on cable that gets bigger ratings, and they had warnings.
That's extremely debatable.
No, it's not. It's not debatable.
It's literally not debatable.
He's number one.
The funny part is what I'm talking about.
Well, but you don't maybe like him because he actually laughs with us.
The reason I say it's debatable is because every human being in the United States of America has a right to decide what they find is funny. And if half of America likes Colbert and half of America likes Gutfeld, that's fine.
These people are so stupid. Everybody in America has a right to think what they find. Like, what the hell are you even talking about? What the hell are you talking about? She's like debating because she doesn't think Greg Gutfeld is funny. Nobody cares what you think, lady. We're talking about ratings. We're talking about popularity. He brought up Greg Gutfeld to debunk the dumbass claim the other guy just made that it was Netflix's fault. If it was Netflix's fault, then Greg Gutfeld would be affected too, but he's not because it's not about Netflix. But she doesn't even understand the point the guy was making. She's just like, everyone has a right to think things are funny. Thanks, lady. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. No, you're fighting for our rights by lying about Colbert. Great.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. And we'll move on from making fun of Stephen Colbert now. Even though he deserves it. Have I been saying all this with a knife in my hand? That probably doesn't look good. I'll put this over here. But folks, I feel especially giddy about this. Not because I want Colbert to suffer necessarily. I did talk about putting him in a cage earlier, but it's because it's indicative of the consciousness of America, and that what Colbert was peddling, this corporate shill behavior, this leftist establishment party line propaganda, people can see through it now, and they don't like it, and it doesn't vibe with them. And they are. There, more people are watching Greg Gutfeld be explicitly right-wing and political and mocking the heroes of the left. That's what more people want. Gutfeld dominates ratings as CBS retires Late Show with Stephen Colbert. That is a sign of the times. That is a sign of the unpopularity of the ideas that Colbert presents, but also of the failure of the institutions to contend with a democratization of media. That guy tries to blame Netflix for Colbert's failure, which again, Greg Gutfeld disproves that, because he should also be affected by that downturn, and yet his ratings are still sky high. However, the phenomenon of streaming, the phenomenon of YouTube and X and Twitter and Facebook and people being able to share things without going through the filter of mainstream media has exposed the mainstream media and confronted them with an existential situation where it was really easy for them when they were the only ones who could spread information. I mean, there was a time when the best you could hope for was if by some miracle you could get a local news station focused on an issue, maybe if it was compelling enough, it would get funneled up to the, you know, national news, and the local package would run on national news, and that's how information about Eugene, Oregon would get around the world. Other than that, you know, you're not sending the Eugene, Oregon Dispatch around the world, right? The newspapers aren't picking that up. Same thing happened in newspapers. Small town article might get picked up by a bigger newspaper. But in that way, there were like four or five corporations that quite literally controlled all of the knowledge of America. Anything anybody knew, any information anybody had about anything going on had to come through the lens of these major corporate interests, obviously Mockingbird Media aligned. And Colbert failing is indicative of their inability to contend with an open market. That without the monopoly of information, without the levers of control, and being the only ones there providing information, they fail. InfoWars, on the other hand, has embraced every technological advancement since Alex Jones was going on Access TV in the 90s. And with every new iteration of non-mainstream media access. InfoWars has led the way and been on the forefront, helped to develop and define these new modes of communication. And so while they're going down, and yet again, I gotta point out the disequality of this, the inequality that is beyond inequality, that it would be like comparing Colbert and Gutfeld is kind of a good comparison, right? Because you got two shows, both of which have corporate backing, both of which have foundational support from the establishment, but they've got different politics, and that's sort of the determining factor in whether or not they get attention. On the other hand, InfoWars has been beaten and bloodied, dragged through the mud, lied about, sued into oblivion. We're under the purview of some, you know, federal interloper at this point. We've been banned off of every social media platform at least once. We've clawed our way back to a few. We've had payment processors cancel us. We've been the subject of investigation and FBI surveillance for the last 10 years. And yet we're expanding. And yet we have a new late night show that Chase Geyser's doing. And we have a new Saturday morning show that Brandon Morell is doing. And there are more shows coming down the pipe. And there's a lot of other stuff happening in the background that I'm not going to get into, but that you'll notice if you're an observant viewer of these programs. We told you folks, we told you we'd get through this. We told you we would not stop fighting. We told you we weren't going to go quietly into the night, but they're doubling down. They're tripling down. They're pulling out new tricks to try to stop us, but we're only going to keep growing, and we're only going to keep exceeding, and we're only going to keep telling the truth for our audience that is seeking that out, as long as you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to go now to this announcement from Brianna Morello. I'm very excited about this. I think she's the best in the business, like, hands down. And because she just knows what the hell she's doing. I don't know, man. I talk to a lot of people in the right-wing media, and none of them have the drive and focus like Brianna Morello does. Breaking things constantly. I don't even understand, like, how she has the energy to work as much as she does. But it's absolutely incredible. She's a perfect fit for InfoWars. And I'm very happy to be able to watch her new show on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on InfoWars.com, band.video, and, of course, streaming on X and everywhere else that you can typically find InfoWars streams. Here's Brandon Morello with the announcement.
Hey, so what do you guys do in the Saturday morning? Well, if your answer is nothing, I've got something you should put on your agenda. Actually, I don't care. If you have plans, cancel them now. I am going to be hosting Good Morning InfoWars. It is the very first episode, and I'm very excited about that. It is a news show where we just talk the news, we break down the headlines, and we give it to you straight up. And I know many of you guys at home have been wanting just that, and you really don't have a resource to go for all the news without the corporate media spin on it. So guess what, folks? Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern time, you better be tuning in over at InfoWars, because that's where I'm going to be breaking down the very latest and telling you everything the corporate media won't tell you. So again, folks, mark it on your calendar right now. Saturday mornings, you're spending them with me over on InfoWars at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
So there you go, folks. Good Morning InfoWars. Tomorrow, 9 a.m. Central, InfoWars.com, band.video. Share the links. I know it's going to become a popular show because, like I said, Brianna, she just knows what she's doing, and she's got her finger on the pulse, and she breaks news constantly. It's just incredible. So very, very excited to welcome her to the team. And of course, I just hope you understand. I just hope you understand with everything that we're up against, with all the headwinds we face, they cannot stop us. They just can't. They're trying everything. And we just keep winning. We just keep succeeding. We just keep growing. And that is entirely 100% thanks to you, the InfoWars audience, going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you, purchasing the products, keeping us on the air, keeping us in the fight, sharing the clips, sharing the information, telling your friends and family, wearing the shirts, wearing the hats, putting the posters up on your wall, Without you, we are nothing. With you, we cannot be stopped. We are growing. We're getting new shows. We got all sorts of other things cooking up in the background. And if you want to support us, and not just support us, maybe isn't even the right word. If you want to join us in this, if you want to be a part of this mission and an integral component of this warfare, this information warfare machine, go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Make a purchase, 25% off store-wide right now. Plus, you're getting extra discounts on the new Battle Dagger. That is a very cool, it's a very cool knife, I have to say. And look, I'm not saying you should stab anybody. I'm just saying if you're going to stab somebody, do it with a Battle Dagger, all right? I'm not encouraging anybody to stab anybody. Let me be perfectly clear. You should not stab anybody. But if you do have to, this is going to be the dagger you want to use. It's incredibly sharp. Should we test how sharp it is? Should we do one of these tests? Should we get a loaf of bread or something? Look at that. Slicing right through. Is this how they test it? I can never remember.
Looks great, Harrison.
Thanks. Thanks, buddy. I don't know. It's very, it's extremely sharp, though. How are you supposed to test how sharp knives are?
Not like that.
How? I don't know.
That one is an actual prop that we dull on purpose. That way the host doesn't injure themselves.
Is it really?
Yeah, it doesn't come as sharp as the ones that you buy.
The tip is super sharp.
Yeah, that was an oversight.
No, you can just... You can hold the paper.
Tell me how to do it.
Just hold the paper up and then slice down fast. Yeah, but have the knife. It's not the safest thing to do, but yeah. You just make a quick slash.
Should I throw it? Would that be safer?
Not directly at the camera, please.
All right. It is really great knife.
You want to know something cool?
Yes.
You know that little groove in the center of the dagger?
Yes.
Yeah, hold it appropriately. Yeah, that little groove. So if it came down to it, let's just say, hypothetically, you know what I mean? You've got to defend yourself against John Podesta, right?
All right. And, so I'm a 12-year-old Caribbean child in the basement of a pizza place. Yes.
That groove actually creates a blood pool, right? And so typically, if someone were to get stabbed, right, their muscles would kind of clench up and it'd be kind of tough to pull your knife out. But that blood pools up, allowing you.
It does create the vacuum seal so you can pull it out to stab them again.
Rip it right out.
Stick it right back in. Well, there you go. It really is a beautiful little knife. The case is super cool because it doesn't have, I don't know, I don't like the cases that have like multiple actions to remove a knife where you have to like press a button and pull it out. I like that you can just pull this thing right out and then just snaps right in. It feels good. It feels strong and it's got a really nice, you know, belt loop connection there. But yeah, very nice. Very nice blade. Again,
listen,
you can get that
for all the clipping noises.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
Very clicky.
You can hear the quality. Yeah. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle knife. Stab all of your enemies. $79.99. Now on thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. All right, we got a lot of other videos to get to. I don't know. It's Friday, so we're having a good time. Plus, we're expanding while they're collapsing. We're growing while they're shrinking. We're stabbing while they're being stabbed. I'm just kidding. We're not stabbing anybody. Nobody's stabbing anybody. Let's go to some of these videos because there has been some interesting developments in the Epstein case. I want to go to clip number 5 here. This is a TikTok user who took it on himself to investigate the metadata of the videos that were put out, claiming to be conclusive evidence that Epstein didn't kill himself. But there was a lot more information embedded in those files than I think they intended to release. Here's the video.
So supposedly the raw footage of Epstein's cell released by the White House was edited in Adobe, and me being a computer nerd and having nothing else to do with my evening decided to look into it myself. This is the official FBI memo. Down here, there's going to be two links to two different videos. One is a edited video with higher contrast. That's the second video. This first video is supposedly the raw footage. So I followed that to this link. I downloaded the video. We can see it up here. And I'm gonna guide you guys over to here where I'm going to run the following command, EXIF tool. It's an open source tool that's gonna give me the metadata for this video. Boom. And if we look at this section right here, what do we have here? Ooh, Adobe XMP Core 9.0. If we go down to these history actions, more importantly, we have a saved, created, saved, saved, saved. And then we can look at these history wins to see when these actions were made. So this first action was the created. And then we had about 3 hours, actually almost 4 hours, between the initial project was created and this first save. And then all three saves after that were basically one after another. And what I can deduce from that is whoever this MJ Cole guy is, he just spammed the save key 3 times because he was really scared of losing all of his progress. And MJ, let's make more saves throughout our editing process so we don't have to worry about that. And I'm assuming that this last history win was placed in front for some reason. It seems to be the most recent. It also is tagged with a history instance ID that is not a Adobe XMP format history instance ID. So I'm assuming this is the ID that was exported. Anyways, the government thinks you're stupid, so don't let them get away with thinking that. That's the whole point of this video.
The government thinks you're stupid. Don't let them get away with thinking that. The FBI's Jeffrey Epstein prison video had nearly 3 minutes cut out of it and was saved multiple times and exported through Adobe. And there are ways to strip videos of their metadata. They didn't do that. They didn't care to. They don't have to. It doesn't matter if you know. The mainstream media is not going to report on it. They're going to keep calling you crazy. I mean, to this day, as far as I know, you can still go and download the Obama birth certificate that has the exact same, you know, metadata aspect to it, where you can see where the changes were made, and the file itself has the multiple layers where you can tell the handwritten information was added later.
You want to hear something kind of creepy and kind of coincidental?
Mm.
One of the most popular metadata tools that you can use to extract metadata from images on the internet, it's called Jeffrey's Metadata Tool.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, coincidental. So yeah, you know, I don't know if they think you're stupid. I think it doesn't matter to them. I think the way that, you know, our system operates, they're just lies that they've all agreed to uphold. And even when the evidence comes out, completely shattering the illusion, they maintain it. They just maintain the illusion. They understand that if you're not actually going to do something about it, it doesn't matter. Right? And unless they talk about it and make it matter, it doesn't matter. Now, if we talk about it enough and make it an issue, make it something that congressmen and senators are reacting to and dealing with, then it becomes an issue and they'll have to start talking about it. But it doesn't matter to them. They can just blatantly lie. And as long as they're all agreed on the lie, they just keep lying. Weapons mass destruction, Iranian nuclear sites, Russian Trump, Russiagate. I mean, it's all, they know exactly what they're doing. They're all lying together. They're all lying in coordination and collaboration. And they don't care because what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Oh, the Jeffrey Epstein video is totally fabricated. Well, too bad, right? It's actually infuriating. Let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Martyr Maid. Daryl Cooper went on Tucker Carlson last night for a live stream. They got into Epstein and his association with Israel. Let's watch clip number 6 now.
Before Jeffrey Epstein was sentenced, for whatever reason, you have this billionaire who's just the definition of a flight risk. They don't take his passport away. And before he's sentenced, he flees the country, goes to Israel, stays there for several months, moved all his money offshore by this point. And while he's in Israel, he he's telling people there that he's thinking about staying, because you can actually do that. They don't extradite, you know, Jewish criminals, at least who flee to Israel. There's a organization called Jewish Community Watch, which is a Jewish organization that tracks pedophiles who have fled the United States to go to Israel, where there's no extradition of Jewish criminals there. And between just the years, I think it was 2010 when they started, when they opened up, and 2016, 2017, when this story was written, so a period of 6 years, there were already 60 pedophiles from the United States that had fled to Israel and were living freely there. Some of them had reoffended there and got thrown in Israeli jails. But so this is a thing, you know, and Jeffrey Epstein was over there.
Why doesn't the U.S. government demand the government of Israel send them back?
I mean, you've been self-employed for a while, but when you weren't, was it your habit to go to your boss and make demands of them on a regular basis? I don't know. I mean, since when do we ever make demands on Israel?
I don't know, but I, you know, that's obviously distressing.
Obviously distressing. I'm sorry. I'm genuinely sorry if you thought Israel was some sort of like benevolent, righteous state a year ago. This must be a rude awakening. They're the worst. They really are the worst. They really are the worst. Why doesn't America demand that Israel extradite Americans from Israel, people who've committed crimes in America, fled to Israel? Why doesn't America demand that Israel extradite them? Because that would defeat the whole purpose of Israel. It's there to be a safe harbor for Jewish criminals. Why do you think the Rothschilds built it in the first place? You have an extradition treaty, you might as well just give the whole thing up. Okay? The real question is, why does the Israeli government protect pedophiles? That should be the real question you should be asking. We are apparently making demands on this. Jeffrey Epstein, wait, what is this? May have had links to Israeli leaders, according to the Rolling Stone. Yeah, maybe. I mean, the former prime minister of Israel lived at his house, so yeah, I guess you could say that. Hilarious. Ehud Barak met with Epstein dozens of times, flew on a private plane. Married Epstein, married Israeli PM Ehud Barak, seen hiding his face, entering Jeffrey Epstein's New York City townhouse as bevy of young beauties were also spotted going in. Yeah. We'll show you some more clips, some more stories about America actually is making demands on Israel these days. Some pretty interesting developments that we wouldn't have expected if, in fact, Trump and his administration are sycophantic subjects of Israel. They wouldn't be making the demands that they're making these days. But I'm glad that they are. And we'll show you the proof of the claims. Basically, Mike Huckabee is mad that Israel is mistreating Christians. But yeah, it's about time. Now that there's one more Catholic church in Gaza they haven't destroyed, and they tried to yesterday. We'll get back to that on the other side. Israel's evil. Don't know how much more you need to hear before you understand that.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
Of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls now. I'm going to try to go to new callers this Friday morning. So if you've been on before, hold off for me. But the number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. We'll get some of the other news here in just a second. We'll stick with Israel for a moment. Just as because of the Tucker Carlson interview with Margaret Mead, a lot of people are just realizing for the first time that Israel has no extradition treaty with America, and that it is, in fact, a favored escape route for Jewish American pedophiles to go to Israel and be fully protected from extradition or any consequences there. But that's, I mean, you would think our greatest ally, we'd have some sort of extradition treaty. That's sort of like the bare minimum basics of an alliance. You would think that would be one of the first things that we would agree to. Like if you're playing a computer game like Total War, you know, you got to build relationships with the other countries before you can have an alliance or a treaty with them. So you start off with like a trade agreement and an extradition treaty. Like these are the early building blocks of an alliance so that we can trust each other. And so that we know that if, you know, somebody's here in America trying to harm us, that they aren't able to, you know, use your country as a safe harbor to avoid prosecution. But we don't have that with Israel. So, you know, in terms of like, what does Israel do for us? I mean, they don't even do the bare minimum required of an ally in that they allow safe harbor for criminals from our country to escape there and live in luxury. So you can throw that on the pile of reasons why Israel is not friends with America. Meanwhile, Israel leveling thousands of Gaza civilian buildings and controlled demolitions. In southern Gaza, Rafah's ruins will become a fenced, quote, humanitarian city for 600,000 Palestinians, with Israeli forces securing the perimeter, as reported in Haaretz. Reuters reported that plans for humanitarian transit areas were pitched to the Trump administration as a $2 billion proposal. The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation denied it, and U.S. President Trump called his call to clean out Gaza as emboldened Israeli leaders. Amid international condemnation, the U.N. warned deporting civilians is tantamount to ethnic cleansing. Amnesty International cautioned it would be an unlawful transfer, and 16 Israeli scholars flagged it as a potential war crime. Well, put it on their tab, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they're building concentration camps, and they're systematically going through and leveling every civilian building in Gaza, even those that survived the endless bombing campaign. But there has been an odd occurrence, something I didn't expect to happen. U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, threatened to publicly accuse Israel of discriminating against Christian groups, pointing to a deliberate pattern of denying tourist visas to evangelical missionaries. Interior Minister Moshe Arbel privately responded to Mike Huckabee's observation by denying the discrimination and criticizing him for deviating from working norms and not acting in mutual trust with the Jewish state. Huh. What a weird response. Wait. Israel's doing something bad, and when it's pointed out, they lie and then claim to be the victims? What? What an unexpected response. To lie and then claim to be the victim. That's... what? I don't understand. Here's the response to it. Mr. Ambassador, I write to you in the final days of my tenure as Minister of the Interior in response to a letter concerning the handling of visa applications for evangelical organizations and workers, in which you claim that the conduct in this matter contradicts the understandings reached between us. As I emphasized during our constructive meeting, I wish to reiterate my commitment to reviewing such applications with the utmost efficiency. This is all lies. It's illegal in America. I mean, in Israel. And I'm pretty sure. I didn't think it was legal, but then we had a caller call in and say, no, they passed that law. That in Israel, you cannot evangelize. You cannot try to convert people. If you try to preach the gospel in Israel, you will be charged with a crime and taken away. And there's video after video after video showing the abuse that Christians suffer at the hands of Israelis when they go there. And again, the fact that Mike Huckabee would write a letter concerning this, to me, is a positive development. Because how are we allies with a country that so clearly hates Christians and is actively attacking Christian communities that have been there since the days of Jesus? Why are we putting up with this? And we wouldn't put up with it if it was any country except for Israel doing this. And that's not a good excuse. And so I got a couple things to expand on this. Reports show rise in attacks on Christians in Israel, but a willingness to tackle the issue. The second annual Rosing Center report documents 111 anti-Christian incidents in 2024. Accompanying survey finds almost half of Christians under 30 want to immigrate from Israel. Get the hell out of there. On October 17th, 2024, a Capuchin friar was walking through the park near a historic neighborhood of Yemen Moshi in Jerusalem when two Jewish teenagers spat at him without saying a word. The unfortunately all too common episode is one of the 111 reported cases of attacks against Christians documented in a 2024 annual report by Rosing Center for Education and Dialogue released on Thursday. And you remember that when this issue of Christians being spit on was brought up to Israeli officials, their response was to claim that spitting on Christians was an ancient tradition of the Jewish people that had to be upheld, and they would do nothing to restrict this cultural practice. According to the reports, most perpetrators appear to belong to the ultra-Orthodox and national religious communities. The majority of the victims are clergy or people wearing visible Christian symbols. The incidents we were able to track barely scratch the surface of what happens. We do not doubt that there are many more cases we do not know of. And I can show you 15 videos right now of events happening just like this. There are entire neighborhoods where if a Christian goes, they are literally set on by a mob who attacks them and drives them out of the community in Israel. So, again, why should we support this country? Why should we even be allies with this country? Why should this country even exist? I mean, it's the obvious solution, right? There's been this interminable war between the Jews and the Muslims ever since Israel was founded, since before it was founded, really, in the lead up and creation of terrorism by the Jewish terrorists, stealing the land from the Palestinians back in the 10s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. What if it was just ruled by Christians? What if Christians just took it over and it was just the kingdom of Jerusalem again, like it was during the Crusades? I think that would be a good solution here. How about instead of the two, you know, supremacist, antagonistic religions that have it like embedded in their character that they have to kill everyone that's not them? What if it was just the religion that preaches peace and understanding and tolerance? What if we were in charge instead? Wouldn't that be cool? Israeli plans for forced transfer of Gaza's population, quote, a blueprint for crimes against humanity. Military ordered to turn ruins of Rafah into humanitarian city, but experts call the plan an internment camp for all Palestinians in Gaza. It's not really a blueprint. I mean, they're following the blueprint. They didn't come up with this idea. They're stealing it from the Nazis. Dean Arnold, Dean Chat on X, talks about this rude awakening a lot of Christians go through. My parents' best friends at Dallas Theological Seminary went on to embrace Messianic Judaism. They moved to Israel, joined a kibbutz, and practiced all the Old Testament ceremonies. They wanted to become citizens, and their case went to the Israeli Supreme Court, which gave its pronouncement in 1975. A Jew can be an atheist and still a Jew. A Jew can be a Buddhist and still be a Jew. But never under any circumstances can a Jew believe in Jesus and still be a Jew. To clarify, one of the judges wrote, there is a sect of Jews who turned into believers in Jesus, but Israel vomits them out. Okay. All right. So what are we learning? What are we learning about how the state of Israel feels about Christians? Next headline, children collecting water killed in strike, Gaza officials report, as IDF says it missed intended target. 17 wounded, 10 children killed as they were trying to collect water. And then Israel, who was handing them the water out, who set up the station to deliver the water, then bombed them to death, killing 10 children. Okay. They said basically it was an accident. Israel signed an agreement with the U.S. to cooperate in AI. Don't forget, they just signed policy to consolidate all of the data of all Americans, and now that data will be shared with Israel. Enjoy. So, might seem like I'm jumping back and forth. You got a headline about how Israeli is creating concentration camps for Gazans. Then a headline about how the Israeli Supreme Court basically says Christians are equivalent to vomit and that nobody who believes in Jesus will ever be a citizen of Israel or considered a real Jew. 10 children killed while trying to collect water from the humanitarian site. And then talking about spitting on Christians. I want you to understand, when you see the conflict between Israel and Gaza, if you're a Christian or an American, you're the Gazans in that paradigm. There's not any meaningful difference. between Muslims and Christians in the eyes of these, you know, extremist Jewish cultists. So how are you siding with them? How do you not understand? Actually, I was going to play the video yesterday, but it wasn't translated. The Colombian president just gave a speech where he basically said, we need to pay attention to what's going on in Gaza because that's what the world elite want for all of us. Saying what happened, they're testing it out in Gaza, but they're seeing what they can do to people. They're seeing how they can treat people, how far they can push people, how much they can abuse people with impunity. And they're learning there's like no lengths they can go to that are deemed too far by the international community that they control. I hope you're not, I really, 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 as a Christian, if you're a Christian, I really hope you're not thinking that, you know, this is some sort of alliance against Muslims. It's an alliance of convenience because Christians are the most powerful force in the world. But it's not, there's no meaningful distinction. There's nothing they say about the Gazans that they don't also say about Christians. So, again, just in that paradigm, you should be aware of who you're really related to in this situation. And they're taking over AI, and they'll have just, like, massive control through that. A threat, a 1,600-year-old church in the Holy Land has been torched, not by ISIS, not by Hamas, but by Israeli settlers, and the victims are Christians. If you care about Christian prosecution, read this thread talking about Taba, 100% Christian town in the West Bank. It's under attack daily. They burned the Church of St. George, a nearby Christian cemetery. It's not just any church. It was built in the 5th century. It was not an isolated incident. Homes have been set on fire. Olive groves destroyed. Farmers threatened. Armed settlers grazing cattle on Christian lands. Police and military often do nothing. Systematic intimidation of Christians. And you can see, I mean, they're treated by the Israelis, they're treated just as badly as any of the Palestinians ever are, any of the Muslims ever are. Let's get real. If Muslim extremists had done this, X would be on fire. Church leaders would issue statements. Headlines would read "Christian village under siege." But because the attackers are Israeli settlers, silence or worse, excuses. Many Christians are afraid to speak out. Why? Because they've been taught a distorted ideology about Israel being biblical. Israel. And then, of course, he goes through and debunks that. These Christians, by the way, are not militants. They're mothers, fathers, children, olive farmers and business owners, priests and monks, ancient communities of Orthodox Catholics and Melkite believers. They pray for peace, but they're being pushed off their land. We are a peaceful people. We don't have weapons. We don't cause trouble. They want to frighten us. They want us to leave the land of Jesus, and it's working. Families are fleeing. The towns are emptying. Yeah, so extremist Jewish terrorists from Israel are massacring Christians and driving them out of their land, and they even killed an American. We aren't hearing about that. And apparently we had to, you know, give endless weaponry to Israel and, you know, protect them at the UN and help facilitate their genocide of the Palestinians, all because, you know, there were Americans that died on October 7th. There were American hostages. Now, in those cases, I think that's debatable. I think if you're wearing an IDF uniform, your status as American should be revoked personally. But does this go both ways? Now that there are Americans being killed by Israelis, are we going to do something about that? Are we going to treat that with the same severity that we treated the American hostages? No, obviously not. They also tried to assassinate Israel tried to assassinate the Iranian president a couple days ago. Today, another Israeli minister has called for the assassination of the Syrian president. It'd be great if they could just stop killing everybody. It would be really great if they would just stop killing the heads of state of their neighbors. You know how you can act like Israel is the victim in any of this? I mean, it's just relentless. It really is just relentless. It just goes on and on and on. Israel just bombed Abu Hilal Eastern School sheltering displaced Palestinians in Al-Burij camp in central Gaza. There you go, bombing another tent city. And by the way, it's all being done not just like with American, you know, agreement, but we're actually the ones, you know, funding all of this. New documents reveal U.S. pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into military aid into building IDF air bases and facilities in Israel. And you can see just these absolutely massive complexes we're building. United States infrastructure is building United States is building infrastructure to accommodate the Israeli Air Force's new refueling aircraft and helicopters, as well as new headquarters for the Israeli Army's Shayetet 13 Naval Commando Unit and numerous other projects costing billions of shekels, according to official documents from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers published online. All these projects are funded by U.S. military aid to Israel. A call for contractors to a conference originally scheduled for June but postponed due to the war with Iran revealed that the U.S. military aid construction program for Israel includes ongoing projects valued at more than $250 million, with future projects expected to exceed $1 billion. The program covers the construction of new facilities of various military bases, including clinics, naval piers, headquarters for different units, and ammunition storage sites. It also involves upgrades to existing infrastructure, runway renovations, and aircraft painting facilities. We're paying all of it. It'll have a price tag of approximately $1.5 billion. Israel has free health care and free college for all of its citizens. It's also waging this endless war completely by choice and voluntarily. They could stop at any point. They choose not to. And it's costing us billions of dollars. And in return, they spit on Christians, destroy Christian sites, give absolutely nothing to America, hide American pedophiles who are fleeing from justice, and systematically disempower and ethnically cleanse Christians from the lands where they've lived for 2,000 years. Do we need more? Do you want to keep going? I mean, we can keep going. I guess. Sure. Israeli settlers set fire to St. George Orthodox Monastery and the Christian Cemetery in the town of Tebe West Bank. This, of course, is the same story there. But there's a statement from the priests of the churches in this area talking about the just insane attacks that they're under, explaining how they've been attacked daily by Jews from Israel. Fires have been set at the town cemetery, attacks on agriculture needed for their livelihood. Christian priests are calling for these attacks to stop, but of course they won't. And the Christian communities around the world seem incapable or unwilling to step up and, you know, do what would be necessary to stop this. I mean, I'm not even really kidding. The Pope should call a crusade. Do you have any idea the number of young men in Europe and America that would without hesitation go to Israel to reclaim the Holy Land, or to Constantinople to reclaim Byzantium? It's honestly sort of like the best option. I think it's the best option available. The Israeli intelligence firm Cyberwell, which was used to nuke Lucas Gage and censor Americans, gets funding from UJA Federation, who gets funding from the federal government. In other words, a foreign company uses our tax dollars to censor our legal free speech. Because of course they do, because it's not just the military gifts that we give Israel. It's the insane amounts of money that are siphoned out of the taxpayers' wallets and given to these foreign companies to surveil and censor us, or just Israeli Jewish activist groups to progress their ideas, or the ADL to surveil and spy on and censor us and, you know, train our law enforcement that white people are the greatest evil. So it's just all us. It's all our money paying for our own destruction and for the aggrandizement of Israel at the cost of literally everybody else. Going out to clip number 14, this ties into it. Into the sheer volume of so-called NGOs and nonprofits that are choking this country like a out-of-control vine. Let's watch.
The United States has over 1.5 million nonprofit organizations.
Wow.
And they gross $2.6 trillion a year.
liquidity?
$2.6 trillion a year.
That's not even the GDP of most countries on Earth.
Absolutely. But when you look at the quote-unquote efforts or those that's entrusted with this affair and rectifying this affair, and you see the fallacy and a gross negligence that comes with United States, they have one of the largest percentages of homelessness, mass incarceration, food insecurity, you know, and the list goes on. So now when you dive into the statistics behind it, it's like, wow.
How's that possible?
This is a real problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real problem. And we got other stories about that too. I can't remember where it was, but some city in America just spent $700 million fighting homelessness, and homelessness only increased. And it's just scam upon scam upon scam. It really is endless. And so much of it goes to Jewish NGOs or Israeli NGOs. I can get the numbers for you. I actually had them the other day. It's pretty crazy. I'll show you the actual numbers, but I think it's something like there is a Jewish NGO for every 1,000 Jews in the country. When for other ethnic groups, black people, it's like one for every 100,000 or something. It's just, a choking weed that's growing out of control. Israeli attacks killed dozens in Gaza, including six aid seekers. Meanwhile, Christian groups and leaders widely condemn Israeli strike on Gaza church. British MPs demand UK government issue sanctions against Israel. Israel charges soldier with spying for Iran. Gaza doctor Abu Safia given 2 spoonfuls of rice a day in Israeli jail. A lawyer representing this Palestinian doctor has raised concerns over his deteriorating health and routine torture in Israeli detention, where inmates are given only 2 spoonfuls of rice a day to keep them alive. Medical neglect and abuse in Israel-run prisons has been well documented, with such practices reportedly intensifying since the events of the 7th of October 2023. In early May, the Palestinian Prisoners Affairs Commission said that sick Palestinian detainees face deliberate and systematic medical neglect alongside hunger and torture negatively affecting their health conditions. Pope Leo under fire for vague statement on Israel's bombing of Gaza Catholic Church. The attack killed 2 women and wounded several others, including a pastor. The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem confirmed that this priest was part of the wounded and said the strike caused significant structural damage to the Holy Family Church, where displaced Palestinian civilians had been sheltering. And we'll be right back with more, because it doesn't end, because it never ends.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the capital. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. Goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.